And here we go. It is now October the 17th, 1983. It is broadcast number 619, and it is a lovely fall evening here in Carmel, California. You feel winter in the air. And this is May Bressel, and I want to discuss and share with you, to begin the program, what we were talking about just a year ago tonight. That's the format we usually have on the program, and I'll get started with that. A year ago this evening, it was October 18th, 1982, actually, program 567, I was talking about the Attorney General, William French Smith, who gave a press conference on CBS News with Bob Simon, and he blew the investigation of a large drug network at a time where he said he was out to get organized crime. He announced the arrest before there was an arrest and allowed 15 of the major drug dealers to get away. That wouldn't be bad enough, except that you know how Frank Sinatra gave the opening inaugural ball for President Ronald Reagan. And now he's trying to stop a book being written about him because of the historic documentation of his links to organized crime figures, starting with Sam Giancana and John Rosselli, but a long list of them. And Johnny Carson, who put on the inaugural ball for Ronald Reagan, is now in trouble with his commercial bank in California, with Robert Durand and Jack Catane and the organized crime figures, and the latest scandal of the missing $60 million of gold bullion. We'll go into that, the death of Mr. Saxon, and links even of people who took money from that commercial bank, this poor lady, this Anne Hathaway, who got $700,000 loan to put to buying Ronald Reagan's house from a bank that is used for washing money, drug money in the Bahamas, Caymans, and all over the world, cocaine in Hollywood. This is the Attorney General representing the President of the United States, identical to John Mitchell, who let this announcement go and 15 people got away. I talked a year ago tonight about last October about the Tylenol investigation. I believed that it was the IG Farb and Combine and Bayer Aspirin trying to break the success of Johnson & Johnson Tylenol, and there are a lot of clues to that. And if those of you want the Tylenol broadcast, I did quite a series, you can write and get the back tapes, a list of those. We won't go into those. But just 1 year later, Mr. James Lewis, one of the two suspects, and I'm not sure the two of them didn't work together out of Chicago, one of them, is going on trial today for extortion for having written to the Tylenol people and wanting $1 million to stop the killings. He hasn't been arrested for the seven people that died in Chicago. He was arrested at one time for killing an elderly gentleman, and he got out of that case because of the evidence in the case department. The entry was illegal. Not that he didn't kill him, but they went into his apartment illegally. So he does have one murder on his hands. And he also was in prison, for sentenced to 10 years in prison for another case, and he did tax work for people for the Internal Revenue and filed false information. Mr. Lewis had 20 aliases, many jobs, computer specialist, tax accountant, importer. Here was the trick, the importer of Indian tapestries and a salesman of jewelry and pharmaceutical. That's where the pharmaceutical comes in. And I mentioned a year ago his partnership in pharmaceutical importing and his tax service. And he had a company which is, sounds like a CIA dummy friend to me, the ALJEEZ, A-L-J-E-E-Z from India, and pharmaceutical equipment, because Johnson & Johnson and IG Farb that run Bayer Aspirin are pharmaceutical. And so anyway, that's who I was talking about last year. I also was referring to the Cayman Islands, the Dominican Republic, Switzerland, the location of the major drug rings that William French Smith allowed to get away the top leaders. So it is no coincidence that this bank, commercial bank in California, and many, many other banks, such as Paul Marcinkus, the Vatican investment in the Bahamas, and the links of organized crime to the Vatican and the Banco Ambrosiano, have to be covered. And our attorney general does just that. He should be removed from office, but he won't, because you members of Congress are really spineless and yellow bellies. And I say members of Congress because Larry Flynt paid $3,000 last week to send a tape of this broadcast, World Watchers, to every member of Congress, and he wants to do that every week. If you have one or more broadcasts, you automatically become a member of World Watchers. So welcome, Congressman. If you hear two of these or play two or even get the sheet or your fingers touch the envelope, you already become a World Watcher. So join the crowd, and maybe out of the 535, if two listen. I think Larry Flynt is an optimist and still believes in the tooth fairy, but if he's generous enough to do this, and if two listen, maybe they won't have a lack of courage. Maybe they'll mention it to others, and some of these stories will be opened up. I also referred last year, to the appointment of Helene von Damm as ambassador to Vienna. That's the secretary that worked for Ronald Reagan for 8 years in California, that worked with TCI, with Otto von Bolschwing, who gave up his citizenship before he died because he was a Nazi, top Nazi in the entire United States, with headquarters in California and Delaware and Sacramento, and had a secretary that he and William Clark put with Ronald Reagan, and then she went on to make the appointments in Washington, D.C. She married a German while she was secretary for Ronald Reagan and translator for Otto von Bolschwing, Adolf Eichmann's superior, living in California, working with Hewlett Packard and ITT and the entire intelligence network. This woman kept the name of von Damm, her German banker husband, even though she married a Byron Leeds and she's the ambassador. She isn't Mrs. Leeds. She keeps the German name because she's proud of von Damm. And Christian von Damm is or was vice president of La Paz, Bolivia, Bank of America. He still could be. And I was talking about those stories just a year ago because Claus Barbie was working the cocaine route that ends up with John DeLorean in Hollywood and the same gang that William French Smith associates with. There's a long article on Bolivia and the cocaine connections of Claus Barbie, and I've done broadcasts on that. Well, the Bank of America, as a vice president down there, Christian von Damm, she keeps his name and is the ambassador under his name. And the scandals of the Bolivia Swiss banks, cocaine connections are horrendous, and I've done programs on those. So that was a year ago tonight. We were talking about that, and she did become the ambassador. And I also talking about the Nixon Gang Strikes Back. That's an article in the Village Voice about Pete Wilson versus Jerry Brown. The background of Pete Wilson with C. Arnold Smith and Mike Kerb and Ken Reitz and Robert Haldeman, the secret mafia organized crime group out in San Diego in California that he's associated with. I was in L.A. this weekend and had the misfortune of having to hear Representative Pete Wilson. He was at a dinner honoring my father in Los Angeles, and he got up, and it's a Jewish organization, Jewish American Heritage. And what do you think he talks about? Moscow, 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 Moscow. All he wants is war. That is the senator from Medfly, Peru, where the fertile Medflies came in, courtesy of the Central Intelligence Agency, to defeat Jerry Brown. And the spraying airplanes for the Melathion came from the same airplane company that is now using the CIA money to bomb the poor natives down in Nicaragua. This man comes out to honor a 93-year-old gentleman and talks about Israel being a democracy. Israel funds the Breuder Band, Argentina, the El Salvadorian 14 families that have their bloodbath, El Catorce down there. And I'm not aware Israel's a democracy. He had to keep saying Israel because it was a Jewish group. They fly these monkeys down, and you in the House of Representatives and the Senate that get this, I want you to know that there is a time for dignity. There's a time for peace. There is a time for being appropriate. I'm sick and tired of the red baiting. Wherever you go, whatever dinner you go to, wherever you hear, there's a certain group of you men that are on a shtick to make World War III, and it's enough to make you vomit. And I was unfortunate enough to have to listen. It was a captive audience because I went with my parents. And then I also went out to dinner with them two nights later and had the unfortunate experience of sitting across from Evil Younger. And I looked at that monster face and thought, oh, my God, I was talking about you 1 week ago on the air, how you want a jury of 10 to 2, how you want the grand jury to be secret, how you want the judge to select the jury, these appointed judges. with their biased interests along certain lines, and you want hearsay to lock us up in jail again. And I remember you, Evil, from your years in California as the attorney general in California, a district attorney who lied about Sirhan Sirhan and let Thane Caesar, the man from Lockheed who did the fatal blow to Robert Kennedy, get off where he can organize Nazis in Riverside. I had to go to the restaurant two nights later and see Evil Younger. If that isn't, that's some weekend, I'll tell you. But, and I had other thoughts, too, about him and Donald Segretti at Fort Ord and the machinations up and down this state that touched my family personally and a lot of other people. And he, I'm sure, knows Mr. Winty, who worked with E. Howard Hunt, who was assigned to my family. I was told that by Johnny Meyer 3 weeks ago when I was up in Canada. The two agents that reported back to the Central Intelligence Agency and Johnny Meyer about me and everything that goes on in our family. And I attribute the tragedy and the loss in our family to a man, and I have to look at him, and I think of Nazi Germany, how these respectable army officers, and he's in the army at the present time, and the FBI and CIA, similar to the Gestapo, they look so charming and so eloquent, dressed up and eating a fine dinner, and all the luxury of being a civilized person, and in their head, they're barbarians. And someday history has recorded what they've done, and maybe you yellow bellies in Senate and Congress someday will face the truth of what went on in here, because the governor in charge of it is now the president of the United States. Now, along with the tape cassettes that go out to each member of the Congress, I'm also enclosing a letter to them. And the letter this week has to do with sex and politicians, because they seemed a little shocked that Larry Flynt sent them the Hustler. But what I wrote to them was that sex and politicians are always bedfellows, that it's natural that World Watchers, my program, should be provided to you by Larry Flynt, because there's more screwing going around in Washington than there is between the covers of those magazines. And the country, I've always said, since I studied the assassinations, is run by two elements. Power moves by two things, whether it is what the Soviet Union has on us, what one candidate has on the other, or who holds the gun, or who has the whore, and who has the films. It's bullets, and it's blackmail. That's what runs the power structure, and nothing else. And you constituents can talk about, is the economy up? Did he bring it up? What's the economic indicator? Was he successful at that? Is everything going well? Bullets and blackmail is the name of the game. And I asked in the letter this week, going out with the broadcast tomorrow, to be sent to the members of Congress, what percentage of you current members of the Senate and House have been blackmailed with photographs and documents. Only you know. We won't know that. Many of your constituents don't realize that you come to the office with promises of importance of what you'll do for these people, and they vote you in believing you'll help them at home, and you've been compromised in your hometown or out of town or out of the country with other women than your wives, with other men, or a combination of all three. Adolf Hitler used sex for blackmail. That's history now, how he helped get into power. Lyndon Johnson and Bobby Baker controlled Congress with their purple houses and their whores. Korea Gate was Susie Parks and the little room behind the Senate or the House office building, and a lot of doors opening in and out with these Korean women. And even Tip O'Neill's name was mentioned at the time, the Speaker of the House. And you wonder why, when an issue comes up like this gigantic story of the stolen papers to make an inadequate man look like a statesman, they have to steal from the National Security Council, the Cartergate scandal, and Tip O'Neill has to cover that up and all the other things, and pass the weapons that the president wants and dance the dance of the Republicans, and he isn't a member of the Republican Party. At the height of Watergate, there were whispers about George McGovern and an illegitimate child somewhere in Kansas that shut him up. He never used evidence to get Nixon impeached or out of office. And Tony Lasowitz, the hero of Watergate, revealed his one-way mirror. He worked for the CIA and the White House plumbers, and he worked for the New York Police Department, and he had apartments where he fixed men up with particularly women he wanted to frame and women up with men he wanted to frame. Now he's asking for $30,000 from the committee to reelect the president. That defunct crook office closed a long time ago, but Lasowitz wants a little more payoff, I guess, with inflation. So he's asking for some money. And Attorney General John Mitchell, he wasn't just supplying whorehouses down in Miami on boats. When Jeb Magruder and John Dean's testimony came, they were going to fix these politicians up. at the time of the Republican conventions, and also they don't hesitate, the Democratic conventions, they weren't just letting them have a little pleasure to ease the tension of the day. They used that not the same year, but not 5 years later. They wait 15 years till a man is in charge of a committee, an important committee like the Arms Committee or so forth, and then they pull out these pictures. J. Edgar Hoover used to love to watch the photographs and listen to the tape recordings of people he hated who were all bugged, and there were tapes of Marilyn Monroe with Robert Kennedy. You guys don't have to act like a bunch of virgins when you get your Hustler magazine, for God's sakes. Oh, pardon me, shouldn't say on the, okay, for, we should say, don't act surprised when you get your magazine. You've done it all and you've seen it all. And if you haven't, you're a surprise. Maybe you're one half of 1/10% like the economic indicators. The attorney general, that was part of the plan of his to fix these men up. And Paul Laxalt filed today for the president, you know, if he wants to run for president, Ronald Reagan. As Paul Laxalt goes on in Las Vegas, Johnny Meyer, the M-E-I-E-R Meyer that worked for Howard Hughes, told me about a particular man who's high up in the Senate now who was fixed up with women, not his wife. You know, this is common knowledge that they had conventions, have shows, girls, fix these people up, military people and people to procure weapon systems. And there's two-way cameras. There's even two-way cameras in a prominent hotel in this area. I can't mention it. Somebody told me where politicians like to go and stay. And the VIP room is bugged. That's right here in Carmel, California. Who does it and why they do it, you can guess. And somebody back there's getting their fun, and Paul Laxalt knows what goes on. And the other Johnny Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, that worked for Howard Hughes, fixed up the top admirals and generals and got defense contracts based upon their sex experiences. So you can get World Watches and you can get Hustler and just accept it and listen and realize that you're only a fraction of this country and you represent us, and you are a menace because you're compromised. And if you're not compromised, you'll do your job. And let's hope that you all are not compromised and some of you pay heed to what's going on in the world, because it's moving pretty fast these days. Now, to more serious matters, but just for a little fun, I like to throw in fun. Ronald Reagan likes to tell stories. I like to tell stories. I was reading the Washington Post, the Secret Service name for Ronald and Nancy. Do you know what it is? I better spell it, because if I say it wrong, it's going to sound wrong. He's Plotus, P-L-O-T-U-S, and she's Flotus, F-L-O-T-U-S. I'm not going to put an A there instead of the O, but you get Plotus and Flotus is Ronald and Nancy. You could go on with the Lilacs and the Camelots and the romantic names of the era of the Secret Service, Plotus and Flotus. I looked up what was sounds like Flotus. That's a gas formed in the intestines. That's our First Lady. And Plotus is a plot to make or plan or contrive secretly, like the garden plot in California, planning to overthrow the country and hoping nobody gets a hold of the minutes of the meeting, or they'll think that you are planning the overthrow of the government when you're governor of California, the garden plot. So Plotus is plotting. And I guess when the names were signed by the Secret Service, they knew what they were talking about. And on the subject of blackmail, William Sapphire had a story last week. It was October the 3rd, actually. And he gave six good reasons why Ronald Reagan shouldn't seek re-election. And the last one, or the next to last, was that the drumbeat of criticizing the president of being out of touch will be insistent as the incentive to discover scandals grows. Now, you don't have to look for scandals to discover scandals. The Bloomingdale tapes, and I'll do more on that later, the Vicky Morgan tapes, are well alive and circulating. They've put off the trial of Mr. Steinberg, the attorney in Los Angeles, until December, and subpoenaed the CIA and Edwin Meese's papers. Alfred Bloomingdale was on the Intelligence Advisory Board for Ronald Reagan, along with Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for the Hinckley family, and Admiral Moore of Western Goals. And several weeks ago, I did a broadcast on Roy Cohn of Western Goals with Richard Vagrie and Daniel Graham of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Now he's retired and going on to Space Wars. And the Admiral Moore also links to the highest echelon of intelligence, to the Intelligence Advisory Board with Alfred Bloomingdale. And Bloomingdale's tapes are floating around. Yes, indeed, they exist, a lot of them. And they just brought them up again this week. Jack Anderson had a column just today, The Big Letters Blackmail, and I thought maybe he was going to get onto some of those delicious stories that I've seen accumulated, like the lies about 007 being shot down deliberately in the Soviet Union, knowing it was a passenger, as against the Soviet Union's reports, and I've brought a whole bunch of them this evening if I have time to read them, knowing that that was a plane testing intelligence operations for various reasons. And I believe that knowing this was the reason that William Clark was forced to resign. He took a quick airplane to Rome and angered George Shultz, always Rome, to ask the father for forgiveness. William Clark and William Casey and William Buckley and the whole gang are all knighted, Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and they probably went back to Rome for a reason. He didn't consult George Shultz. Clark goes to Rome, comes home, and gets out. And then Jeanne Kirkpatrick, another one of their darlings, is leaving the UN. I can't believe she's leaving for any other reason than the outright lies when she played those tapes for the whole United Nations that the Soviet Union gave no advance warning. And then the next 2 days follow the headlines that Ronald Reagan, George Shultz, and Jeanne Kirkpatrick lied, that on the tapes is evidence that there was warning to this airplane. Well, there's a lot of blackmail going on. Jack Anderson refers to the blackmail. He uses the title. He says Margaret Thatcher doesn't want us to send they don't want America to send arms to Argentina because Argentina may fight the Falkland, and therefore they'll stay in Belize and stop weapons going to Mexico if we don't send arms to Argentina. I don't believe that that message Jack Anderson wrote is what he meant to say, because I have many articles since the Falkland War that Great Britain is sending arms to Argentina themselves. I think what he wanted to say was blackmail, and he said it. The excuse is so feeble because I could challenge it with how many weapons have been sent to Argentina by Great Britain and British all along. Another story that got the United States intelligence and the Korean government in trouble was the shooting in Burma. They wanted desperately to blame the North Koreans. They've been instigating a lot of trouble with the North Koreans, and they've had plenty of time to come up with a story. Why do you think there's so much silence on the Korean airline and on the Burma assassination of the top officials of Korea down there? The newspaper had a story, this is October the 14th, a few days ago, on North Koreans, say the South Korean troops are firing on them. And it said in South Korea, the North Korea is generally assumed to be responsible for the bombing, although the government has not officially offered any piece of evidence of this yet. The only suspect they had was killed, like Lee Harvey Oswald or the man that shot Aquino in the Philippines, and it turned out there was powder on the hands of the guard of Aquino and not the man that they shoved in front, who worked for the army and for the Marcos family. It was a combination of mafia and military who they shot and said, here he is, he did it. He did it, you see, and Marcos says it's a communist. The 007 is hushed up. It's not even in the news anymore. And they hope it'll go away, I'm sure. And I'll read you some quotations about Ronald Reagan. He couldn't figure out why it was in the news for 3 weeks. He got everything he wanted out of it, particularly the MX, the binary gas, and the insult to the Russians in Madrid and breaking up the Human Rights Conference in Madrid and then destabilizing the arms talks and a lot of mileage and propaganda. And they thought, well, now in 3 weeks, it'll be over. And we'll unload Larry McDonald at the same time. Vicky Morgan and Larry McDonald must have been a source of glee to certain people to get rid of them because of what they know and their links not only to this terrible trial that's going on in Los Angeles, and we'll do a little more in a minute, but that's the kind of blackmail that is going on. Some countries know that other countries are lying. The Soviet Union knows we're lying. North Korea knows that they didn't do the shooting in Burma. They trade with Burma. They have few people they trade with. Why would they shoot those people down there? So in return, they have the power to make decisions and can change certain political jobs that people have in Washington. You won't know why they are switching and losing power or gaining power. But as sure as you can figure out any mathematical equation, it follows. I remember talking about Henry Kissinger the night that Vicky Morgan had her head cracked open by Marvin Pangos. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, Kissinger was not only on the Central American Commission, but they have billboards of him up in Washington, and his name is in the front page for the Social Party at Marvin Davis's in Colorado. And all of a sudden, if you've collected like I have in the last 2 weeks, Henry Kissinger's face, it's everywhere, and they're building it up to make him president of the United States. If you don't believe yourself, don't believe me, just keep your eyes open. Now, as I say, there was a story in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner. Steinberg granted 2 months delay in sex tapes. His attorney has subpoenaed the CIA, FBI, Treasury Department for anything concerning material on Vicky Morgan, Ed Meese, or other cabinet members concerning Alfred Bloomingdale. Because Bloomingdale, as I say, was on the Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board while he was getting his psychological treatment and mass sex with Vicky Morgan. Another story, Vicky Morgan legal battle lives. And I said that the minute she was killed. The excuse for Pankos cracking her head open was that she was destitute and didn't have money. They're pursuing her estate. She had an estate. The heir's estate at the present time is accumulating. Her son, Todd Morgan, would get it. Lest she had been promised a part of the Showbiz pizza parlor, which I said before, and the palimony suit involving the business part is still going on. We intend to pursue the case. Michael Dave, Morgan's attorney, said yesterday the son, Morgan's mother, Constance Lanny, has been charged to be administer the daughter's will, and any money would go to her son. But this case is very much alive. There were contracts with Mr. Alfred Bloomingdale, who worked with this Foreign Advisory Committee for Ronald Reagan, along with John Connolly and Leon Jaworski when he was alive, and Edward Bennett Williams, and so forth. The Showbiz pizza thing is still a deal, and she was not destitute. There's an article about her in U.S. Magazine, September 26, Scandal's Plaything. A month before her murder, she tells the story of her kinky life as Bloomingdale mistress. And it's quite interesting. It tells about how Morgan contacted Marvin Mitchelson. And I mentioned a few weeks ago how her attorney, the week that she's dead, he's smiling in the London Observer, London Times, and then flies to a party of Roy Cohn from Western Goals out there in Washington, D.C. The story of Vicky Morgan's life was in U.S. Magazine. She was beginning to talk. There's a large picture of her with the lovely Bernie Cornfield. And a very sexy picture. While she lived with him, she was also with Bloomingdale. So you get the CIA and the crime syndicate and all of them rolled into one. And you understand why they took this baseball bat of her son and let Mr. Pankos crack her head open. That case is still alive and going. And there's still pictures about her. And they, as I say, they've held up the trial to ask for tapes. Because certainly if Bloomingdale is put on the Foreign Advisory Board, they must look into his background, so they must have something of little Vicky in the CIA papers just to clear Alfred Bloomingdale when he gets his appointment, and he's seeing her regularly. Another big scandal going on in Los Angeles, as I say, is the gold bullion, Alan David Saxon, with the gold bullion scandal, $60 million going, and $2 million a week he's sending down to somebody in South Africa, to Rio de Janeiro, and has offices in Hong Kong and Dallas, Texas. And this fellow was supposed to be on the board of the bank that Johnny Carson had that went defunct, but he couldn't be on because he didn't want to be investigated too carefully. He had a friend who was on the board of directors with Johnny Carson and his pals. And I'll do more of that in 1 minute. We'll take a 1 minute break, and then I'll do more about Alan David Saxon, because this certainly is going to rub into the Hollywood cocaine connection, the gold smuggling connection, the Kukurans in his car, the South African international connections. This was a bunch of sleaze in the same office building as a commercial bank in California. It's like Banco Ambrosiano and the Vatican Bank and Roberta Calvi being in the same building as Steve Baum, the international drugs, narcotics, and weapon in Milan, Italy. This Saxon and his offices were in the same building as the Johnny Carson Bank in Beverly Hills, or on the border of Beverly Hills and Los Angeles. We'll take a 1 minute break and then go back into the rest of that scandal.